turn to John chapter 6 this evening, as we commence our studies in the I Ams or the Gospel by John. And we're going to consider the first one this evening. The Lord Jesus says that I am the bread of life, and we'll commence to read verse number 25. And John chapter 6 and verse number 25, and when he had found him on the other side of the sea, he said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said he unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Their fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, and she taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when he had heard this, said, This is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said to them, Doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. He said, therefore, I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. And trust this evening, God, what a blessing to the public reading of his precious word. As we come to the Gospel by John, we're coming to the fourth Gospel of our New Testament, and John again is going to bring before us a different aspect in relation to the person of the Lord Jesus. Each of the Gospel writers, as they have taken their pen to write, they portray something different in relation to the person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus. When we think of Matthew, we think of Matthew as he takes his pen, he's going to present the Lord Jesus as the King. When Mark takes his pen to write, he's going to write as the Lord Jesus, as the perfect servant. And Luke, as he takes his pen to write, will present to us the Lord Jesus in his perfect manhood. But John, when we turn to him, he's not concerned so much about the one who is King, or the one who is a servant, or the one who is man, but he's going to present to us the one who is the Son of God. And as John brings and sets before us in his Gospel, the one indeed truly who is the Son of God. And as you think of John and as he brings before us his Gospel and the things which are contained in this Gospel, as you read through the Gospel, the number 7 is apparent in relation to different things, as we shall mention one or two as we go along this evening. But the number 7 is a feature of the Gospel of John. And John is bringing before us something of the perfection and of the completeness of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. And we think of the one who is perfect and of the one who is complete, this would be God's final revelation to men in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And as John thinks, as he takes his pen and as he writes, there are those in the Gospel, and he brings before us, there are 7 signs in the Gospel by John. In chapter number 2, he brings before them the first one, chapter number 2, turning water into wine at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. In chapter number 4, there is the healing of the nobleman's son. Chapter 5, he brings before them the healing of the crippled man at the pool of Bethesda. The first part of chapter 6 is the feeding of the 5,000. In the middle part, he's got Jesus walking in the Sea of Galilee as he goes to rescue his disciples. And in chapter number 9, of the healing of the man blind from his birth. And in chapter number 11, of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. These 7 signs performed in public to show that who he really was. But not only as we were the 7 signs of the Gospel by John, but as we're about to embark on our study, there are these 7 I Ams that are recorded in the Gospel. 7 things that we might address our attention to in relation to the person of the Lord Jesus. And as we're going to see in the nights to come in the will of the Lord, these different aspects. For in chapter number 6, he says, I am the bread of life, and we'll draw our attention to that this evening. Chapter 8, we have the Lord Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Chapter number 10, he says, I am the door. Chapter number 10 again, he says, I am the good shepherd. Chapter 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Chapter 14, I am the way, the truth and the life. And in chapter number 15, he says, I am the true vine. And again, they bring before us the number 7, and as they bring before us the aspects of the person of the Lord Jesus, we're thinking of the perfections and the completeness of the one that is presented before us. But there are another 7 I Ams in John's Gospel. There are 7 references to the word I Am again. Chapter 4 and verse number 26. Chapter 6 and verse 20. Chapter 8, three references in verse 24, 28 and 58. Chapter 13 and 19. And chapter 18 and verse 5. Where these verses bring before us, not something associated with the Lord Jesus, but he's just presented as I am. I am. And we're going to think this evening again of this one who is the great I am. And here we're thinking tonight of the one who is the bread of life. 7 times in the chapter, there are 2 phrases that become apparent as we read down the chapter. There are 7 references in the chapter to bread from heaven. Bread from heaven. And 7 times there is reference to one who came down from heaven. One who is the bread from heaven, and the one who is the bread is the one who came down from heaven. But before we come to our verse, we need to try and understand the context of the verse number 35 that we're going to particularly think about, with the context round about this phrase that is brought before us from by John, and as the Lord Jesus said, and presents himself as the bread of life. This chapter divides simply into three. From the first 14 verses we have the feeding of the 5,000. From verses 15 to 24 we have the Lord Jesus walking on the sea to go towards his disciples, and then the remainder of the chapter we have Christ declaring himself to be the bread of life. When we come to from where we started to read this evening, then after the Lord Jesus had met the disciples in the sea, he has gone over to the other sea. And as they came to Capernaum, they were seeking for him, and verse 25 says, and when they had found him, they came to Capernaum seeking him, and it says that they found him. And each one of us this evening who have trusted the Lord Jesus, we can think of a moment when we sought him. We can think back to a time when we trusted him as our Saviour, and we found him in all our need, we sought him. But not only did we seek him, but we found him. I wonder tonight, as each one of us, we sought him. And having sought him, and we found him, does each one of us tonight know the joy of our sins forgiven? And does each one of us know something of his daily provision for us, as we'll come to in a minute or two? But they sought him, and they found him. I trust this evening that we've found him as our Saviour. But I trust this evening that we still are seeking him, and his word day by day. And then his word, that as we read his word, we find him. For the scriptures are they which tell us of the person of the Lord Jesus. They are they which reveal him to us, and as we'll come to, it's him that we need to feed upon, that we might feed our souls on a daily basis. They sought him, and they found him. And when they found him, they asked him a question, "Rabbi, when comest thou?" And he answers them indirectly. He realised they had not sought him because of who he was, but rather because of the food which he had gave them. They had seen him perform a mighty miracle the day before, and that should have convinced them that he was indeed the Creator and the Messiah. But their interest was simply, at this stage, was simply in the food that they had been provided with. They had eaten of those loaves that had been provided, and their hunger had been satisfied. But they didn't really appreciate the one of who it was who had provided these things. And in verse number 27, he says, the Lord Jesus says to them, "Labour not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." He was telling them not to labour for that which would perish. It did not mean that they should not work for their daily living, but that should not be their supreme aim in their lives. Satisfying one's physical appetite was the most important thing in their life. But they forgot that man consists not only of a body, but of a spirit and of a soul as well. We should labour for that food which endures unto everlasting life. Remember, the word of God says that man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of in the mouth of God. And they move on to ask him a second question, and they say unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" They were trying to earn their way to heaven. They were trying to do something that they might do a work, that they might do the works of God, that they might come into the benefit of eternal life. They were trying to do something on their own merit, rather than appreciating the one who was in their very midst was indeed the one who could give them life, the one who could give them forgiveness, was the one who could give them salvation. And many today still look to do what they can so that they can say that they have contributed to salvation in some way, or so that they can boast in something which they have achieved. But he says unto them, he turns to verse 29, and the Lord Jesus says to them, "This is the work of God, that you might believe in him whom he hath sent wasn't so much of what they could do, but they had to believe in the one who had been sent. And this is the one who came down from heaven. This was the Son of God. The one who was sent to be the Saviour of the world was the one whom they had to believe. And they had to trust him, they had to accept him, they had to depend upon him, not trying to do something of their own efforts or of their own works. Paul writing to the Ephesians says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then he turns, and then they come now to a third question in the chapter, and they said unto him, "What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe? What dost thou work?" And this proves again a further wickedness of the hearts of the people. And they had seen him feeding the 5,000. They had saw the sign that he claimed proof that would prove that he was the Son of God. And then they're looking for a further sign that they may believe, that they wanted a sign so that they would believe. But God says, "Believe and then you will see. Trust me, trust him, and then you will see." But then they take him back to the Old Testament. And he says, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Going back to the Old Testament, they were trying to remind him of the miracle of the manna in the wilderness. They seemed to be saying that Jesus had never done anything as wonderful as that. They were thinking Moses had called down the manna from heaven, and whereas they thought this was something that had been given from heaven, and they were trying to say that the Lord Jesus wasn't as great as Moses, for he had multiplied the food that he had been given, but they thought Moses had given that bread from heaven. Then he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." It was not Moses who gave them the manna, but it was God. And the manna was not going to be that true spiritual bread from heaven. The manna was literal food for their physical well-being. The manna was only for their physical body and was only for time. The manna had no value beyond this life. But the Lord Jesus was saying to them that he was going to be that true, that genuine bread which would come down from heaven, which would satisfy not only in time, but would satisfy for all of eternity. He says, I am Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. The Lord Jesus again revealed himself here. He's revealing himself here as the bread of God which cometh down from heaven and gives life. That's why he came. He was saying in John chapter 10, "I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." He was showing here the superiority of the bread of God to the manna in the wilderness. He was the one who had come down that he might give his life, that he might give his eternal life. And he says, "I am the true bread who comes down from heaven and give life to every man." He was one not just going to, the manna was given just for one nation, but the Lord Jesus was going to give his life, that it would be for the world and for all men. And then they say unto him again, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." At this point they still don't realise that the Lord Jesus was speaking about himself and as the true bread. And so they asked him for that bread. They were still thinking in terms of a literal loaf. There was no real faith in their hearts. And the Lord Jesus then says in verse number 5, he says emphatically unto them, "I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst." I am the one who is the ever existing one, the one who always is and always was and always will be. The one whom we thought a few weeks ago was the beginning, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the everlasting one, the Almighty. And he says, I am the bread of life. They were thinking, I'm still thinking of that, of the manna in the Old Testament. And here the Lord Jesus was saying, he says, "I am the bread of life." And he that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. I am, again, just making the claim to equality with God himself, showing again that who he is. He says, I am the bread of life that cometh. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. And think again of the Lord Jesus, the one that we've come to for salvation, the one that we've trusted as our Saviour, the one that we know who has forgiven us our sins, and I trust we each can look back to a time when we've trusted him as our Saviour. But I trust, we don't only look back, but I trust this evening, day by day, we're feeding upon the person of the Lord Jesus. For he says, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger. On a natural basis, I'm sure, each one of us, there are times in the day we have breakfast, we have lunch, we have tea, we have supper. And we have a routine set for our daily intake of food that we might survive naturally. I wonder, do we have set times in the day when we feed our spiritual soul? Do we have set times when we get into God's presence and we feed upon him? Early in the morning, during the day, thinking upon him, at night, are we feeding upon Christ? In the book of Exodus, in relation to the manna, it says that the God would rain bread from heaven. Exodus 16, verse 4 says, the Lord said unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. The manna that has been provided for them day by day. There had been a daily provision for them, but it says that they had to go out. They had to go out, they had to leave their tent, they had to go out. But they didn't just have to go out the tent, it says that they had to gather. They could have went out and just looked, saw it and done nothing. But the instruction was go out and gather. As they went in, they had an amount to gather. We have to, as it were, sometimes get out of our comfort zone. Get out of whatever it might be that we might gather. And I think it's a chance to me earlier today, as I thought of my life and thought of things. How often do I put other things to the side that I might gather? Gather something out of the Word of God for my well-being, for my daily living, that I might enjoy Christ, that I might be able to have something to gather Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that as I come to worship collectively, something to give to him. The challenge was to go out, gather every day. It was a daily supply. The manna was provided daily. And we're reminded in the book of Lamentation, that not that great is thy faithfulness, thy mercies are new every morning. what I perhaps read and gleaned and meditated on yesterday for my spiritual well-being will not suffice for me today. What I had yesterday will not suit my diet for today, and will not keep me going tomorrow, where I have to daily gather something, that I might have a freshness and a fresh appreciation of the person of the Lord Jesus. And not only to gather every day, but he says that I may prove them, that I may test them. And sometimes as we read the work of God and we apply it to our daily lives and circumstances, our faith is sometimes tested in a way that is the world would say, to see if you're the real deal. Our faith is tested to see if we're real. I wonder as God tries us, I wonder if we come forth as those who are real. That which we've proved, that which is tested, which has stood the test of time. They to gather, they to go out, they to gather. And it was every day. It was that for their daily need. In Ruth chapter 2 and verse number 19, Naomi says to Ruth, she comes back on that occasion, she said to her, "Where hast thou gleaned today?" In other words, where have you been? Where have you gathered? I wonder if I should apply that to each of our hearts tonight and ask us all individually. I'm not going to, so don't panic. If I ask each one of us tonight and you ask me, where have I gleaned today in the Word of God? There have been times when you've been in His presence today. And there are times when we've read His Word and we've gathered something about the person of the Lord Jesus. Where are you going today? Or could it be the first time you opened your Bible today? Or looked at the Word of God was when I asked you to turn to John chapter 6. And up until this point, you've never fed your soul today. You have perhaps fed yourself naturally, physically, that life may be being sustained. But spiritually, you never had read the Word of God until tonight. Where has it gone today? Feeding upon Christ is a daily thing. Feeding upon His Word is a daily thing. Praying that we might be fed the one who is the bread of life. And as we turn to the Word of God is that which reveals the person of the Lord Jesus to us. There is that contained in His Word for our daily living and learning. It was the book that made us wise unto salvation, Paul says to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 he said, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." It was a book that made us wise to salvation. It's a book that will encourage us as we seek to love for Him and serve Him. It will provide us with unerring guidance for our life. For Psalm 119 says this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Jeremiah chapter 15, I'm just going to quote it in case I misquote it. Not only does the Word of God provide me with unerring guidance for my life, but Jeremiah 15 verse says it is food for my soul, for it says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." The Word of God made us wise unto salvation. It provides us with guidance for our life. It provides food for our soul. Psalm 119, verse 11 again says it is a defence against sin and temptation. For him, Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, but by taking heed to thy word." 1 Peter chapter 3 says, "It will give me the ability to defend my faith." So if anybody asks us, we may be able to give an answer of the hope that is within us. We wonder, as we think upon the Lord Jesus as the one who says, "I am the bread of life," the one who said, "I came down from heaven," the one who is the eternal Son of God, the one who came down and he went to the cross and suffered and bled and died, the one who has given us forgiveness of sin, the one who has given us eternal life, the one who provides us with all our daily benefits, as the psalmist would remind us. And yet, if we are honest at times, we fail to appreciate the things that he has given to us. And we fail to appreciate the wonder of who he is and all that he has provided for us in his word. And as we think of the word of God, as we think of the manna, how they had to gather it, and how as they had to gather it daily, and how they would feed upon Christ, the one who is the bread of life. So you and I, we need to gather daily. We need to feed upon him. We need to read. We need to not only read, but we need to meditate upon what we read. And we need to pray over it, that what we read may be applied to our hearts. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that he was to give attention to reading. John in the book of the Revelation said, "Blessed is he that readeth." So there's a blessing even in the reading of the word of God. And then Paul would remind Timothy not only to give attention to the reading, but he was to meditate upon it. And not only meditate, but to take heed to it. And he's to continue in the things which were contained therein. And as we feed upon the person of the Lord Jesus, we can read his word. We can meditate upon it. Do we take heed to it? Do we continue in the things which are contained therein? And he says, the example of Timothy was, despite him being a youth, he was to encourage the believers in these things. And as we take heed and as we continue, as we feed upon Christ, may we develop and grow. Peter reminds us as newborn babes of the desire and sincere milk of the word that we might grow thereby. I wonder, do we have a desire for the word of God? Do we desire to feed upon the word of God? We are privileged, aren't we, to have the word of God in our hand. We have the privilege of being able to gather like this to hear the word of God on a Monday and on a Saturday. We're privileged to have the word of God before us. The privilege that we can gather together to be instructed. We're gathered to feed upon the word of God and feeding on Christ. And that which will help us and that which will encourage us as we seek to live and to serve him. And despite the trials and difficulties of our life, can we take courage tonight that the Lord Jesus says, "I am. I am the bread of life. He that comes to me will never hunger." Never hunger. There's a supply there, there's a bounty there. "And he that believeth in me shall never thirst." Come to him. Trusted him for salvation. Provided us with that, he's given us his word, he's given us his Son. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And we'll have that within us. We'll have his word. And as we feed upon him, our appreciation of him grows. We learn how to live for him. We learn how to serve him. We learn how to love him. All because we feed upon him. Trust the scene and God may bless his word to each of our hearts. But as we think upon the person of the Lord Jesus, as the one who is the great I Am, as the one who is the bread of life. He is the one who feeds us. And maybe as we feed upon him, we might have a greater appreciation and a greater love for who he is, for what he's done for us.